League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I just beg of you to please behave today. Whenever we have situations where we're in social settings with people that are much higher ranked than us, right. I'm always concerned that Raven is going to say something that's going to humiliate us.
Something very strange is going on today. We were invited to go to lunch with the boss, and immediately the email, first thing that they said in there is, it's nothing bad. Nothing bad. We swear it's nothing bad.
It's in on Raven. The funny part is that, like, so our CEO is, he's great. And
sure.
Like, so I don't think anything of it. Like, I'm like, oh, he wants to take us to lunch. That's so fun. And I just think, like, where are we going? Because I'm hungry and I want to eat.
And like, then you hear the first line, it's nothing bad. And you immediately think to yourself, wait a minute.
Why?
Could it be actually something bad?
Yeah. Like, why did you say that? Like, why would you say that?
Like Jerry Maguire, I brought you here to fire you, Anna.
Right.
I brought you here to fire you.
I mean, you thought what? That you should fire me over pizza? Like, I guess it would soften the blow a little bit.
I think we're going to survive this because I have rules, basically, for eating with the boss, I think, that will keep me out of trouble.
All right. So this really is for you, Raven, because I've done so many of these events with you where we end up getting in trouble, and it's like me trying to cover your tracks. So
listen,
what do you think you're going to do today to behave yourself?
Three S's here. No seeds. That's S number one. No seeds.
What does seeds mean?
Well, anything that you have with seeds, man, then like they say something to you, and then you smile broadly, and now you got like a seed in between your teeth.
Oh, you're worried about that.
Yeah, you got like a poppy seed in there or something like that, and they're not going to tell you because they don't want you to be embarrassed, but now here you are. You're having a full conversation. You're trying to make jokes and get in good with the big time, all that stuff, and you got a seed hanging in between all your teeth.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I would tell you had junk in your teeth.
What if you had spinach in your teeth? I'm not sure I would tell you. How do I tell you
what?
When we're both sitting there and he's there?
You just go like, you put your finger on your tooth.
So now I look like the guy who's picking his teeth in
okay.
front of the boss.
All right, don't eat anything with seeds. Okay.
Right. No seeds. No okay. sauce. Oh. No sauce.
We're going for pizza. How are we not going to have sauce?
Yeah, but you gotta lean in.
No.
You gotta lean in.
Don't eat weird. Don't eat
no.
like a weirdo. Because
no.
then he's gonna be like, why does he eat like a weirdo? What weirdo eats pizza
Like, if it's like Sicilian, sometimes sauce just squirts out the side of it. And then all of a sudden, now I got okay. sauce on my shirt. So, and you know I'm gonna wear a decent shirt, like a power shirt. Oh. I gotta wear a power shirt.
You're gonna change your shirt today? You could just wear it all day.
I gotta wear a power shirt. All right, that's all. You don't like this shirt? This shirt isn't powerful?
I didn't think about wearing a power or anything. I just wore a sweater.
See?
All right.
Well, it's going to be 85 outside, so good luck not sweating yourself off, on the patio there.
It's cold here. It's like freezing in the studio.
Well, in the studio, but then you're going to be outside.
These are the things you're worried about? What's the third S?
Third S is no suds. No suds. You don't have beers with the boss in the middle of the week in the workday. All right.
Mm.
Even if they order one, you gotta go with like a water with lemon or something like that. All right. Because if you have the beer, then maybe you get a little bit too comfortable, or maybe your breath stank or whatever, or you got to order some like beer. Like, you can't just order a regular beer. If the boss orders a beer, you got to order a beer that says, I'm a smart person who's cultured and knows about beers.
Like O'Doul's?
You gotta order like a lager or something like that. And now you're stuck with this craft beer that tastes like a loaf of bread. That's not for me. I can't do it.
All right.
That's it.
These are the
no seeds.
Okay.
No sauce.
Right.
No suds.
Yeah.
We're gonna kill this lunch.
I just want you to do one thing for me today.
What's that?
Don't say anything stupid.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
One of our coworkers asked me if the Nextdoor app was actually really important. And I was like, I can't believe you don't have it. It tells you everything that's going on in your neighborhood. Plus, you get to see which one of your neighbors are crazy.
The entertainment value is really second to none. It's absolutely amazing.
If you're not familiar with the Nextdoor app, you can download it. You sign up for it. It's just very uber local to you. But we like to get some of these posts and then act them out for you. Chris writes, missing cat flyers everywhere. Do we really think that this cat is alive after 2 years? I mean, Come on, really? !
I mean, he also underlined and used bold.
Right.
I've seen these cat flyers. It's a little bit sad. Mm. Catherine chimes in. Come on, man. Are they bothering you that much? I don't usually comment, but you're being insensitive. Find a different hobby. Catherine sounds nice.
And Chris responds, last time I checked, I had the right to free speech. So yeah, it does bother me. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that this annoys.
Oh boy, he's one of those.
Yep.
Elizabeth says, for the record, it's not a free speech issue. It's about being kind and neighborly. This is a friendly neighborhood forum.
And Kyle responds to that. Free speech does not mean freedom from others voicing their opinions on an absurd comment. Don't cry victim after trying to shame someone for looking for their lost pet.
Catherine comes back. Okay, just for fellow pet parents in the area's peace of mind, I always keep my eyes peeled for your fur babies. Smiley emojicon. Good luck, everybody, waiting for their reunion with a flower.
I mean, she's really nice.
She's really nice.
But it makes me wonder if it's the neighbor that's too nice. Pat jumps right in and says, I hope you never have a pet. You don't deserve that kind of love.
Take that, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Beth chimes in, I don't ever comment, but as a pet lover and human being, I have compassion and sensitivity. That could be a child's cat and the child is asking for mom and dad to post flyers. It could be an elderly person whose best friend was their pet because family can't visit. You, Chris, need to think before you speak. For many of us, our pets are family. Would you stop looking for your family ever?
I mean, Beth basically gave this lost cat like 17 different backgrounds.
No, but she broke it down.
There's a small child looking for the cat. There's an elderly person that has no family.
She's trying to find the thing that he could relate to. Somewhere in his cold black heart, maybe he's got some love.
Okay. Steven responds, someone putting up posters for a lost pet isn't annoying. It's sad, Chris. However, if it bothers you that much, don't complain on here. Call the number on the poster and let the owner know how little you care about others. No.
Yeah,
no,
don't do that.
Don't do that. That's don't
sick.
Call that. That is sick and twisted.
Steve.
And nobody wants that.
Michael chimes in, Chris, in life we should never assume. Can you say for a fact that this cat isn't alive and just went to another neighborhood where it was adopted by a family who thought it was a stray?
What?
You can't, because it happened a few years ago when my mother thought she lost her beloved cat, but months later it returned.
Wow.
Neighbor had taken it in by accident.
Uh-huh.
A few pieces of paper taped around the neighborhood isn't going to drive property values down.
Wow.
In my opinion, Michael, he's a cat thief, but he does make a couple good points.
He did. Someone stole that cat. But here's the plot twist. Marie jumps in. It's to the point now that it's littering the towns and all these signs should be taken down. I'm a pet lover just as much as the rest of you. But this woman walked right into my house 2 years ago telling me she sent her couch to the dump and was afraid that the cat was in it. Dun, dun, dun!
Marie sounds crazy. And that sounds made up.
But what if it's not?
But it's a strange detail to have.
Yep.
Chris comes back and says, I'm totally compassionate to the loss of a family pet. It's safe to assume it's a goner.
But Lori, she wraps it up and says, really? You're a butthole. Someone misses their cat. Yeah, but not free speech to sound like a heartless butthole.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, how many times can we say that on the air and it sounds awful? And who writes that in a post?
I didn't say it once, people that are filing complaints, but thank you, Lori, for wrapping it up.
Boom and shot, shot.
Raven, get your thighs ready. Because the mini skirt for men, or I guess I should say the mini shorts for men, are coming back into style.
Yeah, I saw that, man. It's like a thing, man. They say it's the sexiest short ever if it's really short.
Yeah, which I think is so odd.
Seems strange.
But it's stranger because like we're going into fall.
Yeah.
So why all of a sudden now are we so focused on guys wearing short shorts?
People are paying attention. You know, the thing is that when you're thirsty, the dirtiest of water will taste amazing. It will save your life, okay?
All right, Mr.
And right now, ladies are thirsty because it's been a strange year, a strange summer.
Uh-huh.
So they're seeing these guys in these shorts, all of a sudden they're paying attention. Last year, wouldn't even be paying attention. Next year, thing of the past.
It's Anna and Raven. So the typical shorts that men usually buy when you go into a store, up until about maybe a year ago, was 7 inches.
Okay.
It's a 7-inch inseam.
Right.
Right. So if you measure from like the crotch area all the way down to the bottom, it's 7 inches. But I noticed this because we go shopping for my husband for shorts.
Sure.
And I would just grab, you know, to try on.
Right.
And then we would get into the dressing room and I'd be like, I'm like, right. Those shorts are so short.
It's happened a few times to me this year, too, because you can't try everything on everywhere, only some places. So they bring them home, and then you don't know until you put them on there, and you're like, nope, these ain't going to work.
And the average person doesn't know that there's a difference between a 7-inch inseam and a 5.5-inch inseam, which is the new trending one. And you would think an inch and a half is not a lot.
Oh, no, it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is. On an inseam especially, right? Because, you know, it's like if you have a measurement on one side, when you see it on the outside, it's going to look even shorter there for some reason.
Right.
So I'm wearing one of my shorter pairs of shorts today.
Let's measure how long
but
these are.
I'm telling you right now, it's still over. Like, I didn't realize until I put them on. I'm like, oh, no, that's definitely more than 5.5.
Yeah, let's see. You measure
so 5.5 is supposed to be ideal.
Well, 5.5 is the new sexy guy's short shorts.
Yes.
And trust me, if you go to the stores, you'll see a difference between 5.5 and 7. Because when you put on the 5.5, it looks like your man is naked.
I definitely have some 7s. I can tell you that because I have some shorter ones.
All yours are 7s. I don't think you actually own 5.5.
This one's actually 9. I'm looking at it now. It's 9.
Yeah, I told you. You don't know what it's like to wear 5.5-inch shorts because I've had Paul put them on my husband by accident.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could see, like, almost like it, like it's halfway up his thigh.
Right.
It's so odd. Hold on. Let me move over.
See the pale side of his leg.
Yeah, those are 9 inches. And they're saying that these 9-inch ones are totally out of style and they actually make you look shorter and grosser.
Well, that figures.
Yeah.
You know, that makes perfect sense for me.
So now what I need you to do is to measure 5.5 and let me see. What's that muscle called right there? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on it.
I don't know. What am I, the muscle guy? I'm a radio guy. What do I know?
Not your hamstring. What's wrong with me? Why am I drawing a blank on that?
Down low and string
growth. I know. What's it
called? That's 5.5 right there.
All right. Well, now you have to stand up. Stand up.
I'm standing up.
Cup a little bit more. You look ridiculous. It looks like you're going to go swimming in a 1970s porn film.
Well, at least I'm tan. And why am I tan all the way up there? That's a bigger question.
That is odd. So if you're going to buy your shorts, be aware that you should also shave your legs.
You want to do a before and after? You can get some photos here. I'm feeling very confident about my legs this morning.
All right. Raven, we'll show you what 5.5 shorts should look like. We'll post it right now. We'll head to our Instagram page, search Anna and Raven, and we'll show you the difference between 9-inch, 7-inch, and then the ultimate new goal for sexy men, 5.5.
Woo!
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. If you blame the virus for not doing your job, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, it's still going on. It's going to be going on for a while.
Why can't we stop doing that?
Forget it. No, 5-hour hold time on the phone. Forget it. COVID.
Virus.
Can't pick up your online order that's supposed to be ready in an hour for 5 days.
Virus.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Same thing, my phone carrier. The guy gave me his cell phone number because we had so much discrepancy with our bills and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he was going to string it out. He didn't call back. He didn't text back. He didn't email back.
Right.
I walked into the store because I was like, hey.
Help me.
And he was like,
I'm drowning here.
I mean, he just looked at me, shook his head. He's like, COVID. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It still goes on.
Do you have it?
Ironically, I just looked a minute ago and I got my phone bill went to, it auto withdrew from my account.
Yeah.
It is the first month that is accurately what it was supposed to be when they promised it. Do you know when my 1-year anniversary is with this cell phone contract?
When?
October.
Right.
It's next month.
Yeah.
Less than 30 days. This is the first time they got it right. But I'm glad it's right. Never switching again. COVID.
COVID.
Never switching again. If you're considering lying in wait to catch the car thieves that are going rampant through the neighborhood, that's all I need to know about you. Mm. I said to my wife yesterday, I was like, if I had a few more personal days lined up right now, I'd be hiding out right next to my neighbor's fence waiting for these guys. It is unbelievable how many people are rifling through cars in my area right now. It's every single day. You know, I've got that ring, the ring cameras, right? So you've got the Ring app where it shows all the different, and people post their videos of what's going on around the neighborhood, and there's a map that physically shows you where the houses are, and everybody's got cameras nowadays. It's nothing special, so it's happening every single night. They're going through the cars
again, and I feel like every once in a while this comes back up again, and it's like we had a kind
it's been
of a
going
quiet
for like
time.
30 days straight.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's
right
been
now
nuts lately,
and it's the same streets the same like 8-block radius or whatever every night, and it's happening like 4 or 5 nights a week.
When you catch the guy, because I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I have a vision. What will happen?
My husband caught a guy opening our car, our door. He didn't know. So our backyard is dark. So he was outside with the dog.
Right.
And he was like standing up in the yard, and he could see down into our cars.
Sure.
So he saw the guy walk and like jiggle the handles. And, you know, and Paul's looking, and he sees him go to my car, and it's locked. And then he sees him go to the other car, it's locked. And he yells out, he's like, hey, what are you doing?
Right, in his big voice.
Yeah.
Right, Paul's got a big voice. He's a bigger guy.
Yeah. And,
right.
And the guy...
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey,
said Paul. Right.
What are you doing?
The biggest voice he's ever had.
Yeah. And the guy just kind of, like, runs off.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
My vision is a little bit different. Uh-huh. I picture myself... So in the garage, I have many items, right? And I consider myself... I envision myself behind a bush, right? Mm-hmm. And I have these bushes here towards the front, and yet for some reason I've brought out a folding chair, and so like a WWE move, as they go for the door handle, there's no warning. I just hit him over the back of the head with a folding chair.
Raven's just creeping in his bushes in a folding chair.
My wife is very set against this. But I can't figure out why.
I can't imagine why. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Last week, there was a discussion about when is it okay to answer the phone when you're sitting on the toilet.
Okay.
And we had a lot of back and forth about it. And I said, like, you really never should answer the phone on the toilet. I did it this past weekend. And it was so embarrassing. And it was a FaceTime call.
Well, I mean, you can't answer a FaceTime call. Here's the thing. One thing about the pandemic is, like, FaceTime has become more of a thing there.
Yeah.
Before, if somebody called you on FaceTime, it's like, wait a minute, what is this person doing?
Usually
now
it's an
people
accident.
Just do it without permission. Like, I want somebody to ask me, can I FaceTime you? No. A lot of times I'm going to say no.
It's Anna and Raven. One of my best friends, Lisa, she got engaged over the weekend, and she texted me. She's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I go, I'm like, call! You know?
Right.
So she FaceTimed. I thought she was going to call, but she FaceTimed.
Right.
And I was on the toilet, and I didn't want to miss the call because I knew they were at the beach celebrating.
Did you keep your angle facing nothing but up?
Yeah.
But still, they could see the towel rack behind you, they know where you are.
And then she put her fiancé on. And then one of her girlfriends was there.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
gosh.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm on the toilet. Do they know I'm on the toilet
right.
the whole time?
Right.
But anyway.
And you can't finish up while you're on the phone with them because
not.
That would require a hand.
Yeah. So anyway. But I think that there's certain times in certain situations when you're sharing big news happening in your life.
Moments in time.
There's certain ways to do it. Like, for her getting engaged, it's a big deal. Like, I need a phone call. I need a FaceTime. I need to see the ring. I need to see her face. I need to, like, share the excitement.
That makes sense.
But sometimes deciphering between... Is it a FaceTime phone call?
Yeah.
Do you have to show up and tell somebody in person this news?
Sure.
Is it a text or is it a social media post? The lines get a little bit blurry.
Well, to be fair, you never know when somebody's on the bathroom, right? They're in the bathroom. So give me some examples. I can tell you easily what is required here.
Okay, you're engaged. And you want to tell...
FaceTime makes sense. FaceTime makes sense.
For your friends. But for your parents...
You probably want to go there.
Right.
Yeah, you probably want to go to their house. Right. Yeah. I mean, at least FaceTime, depending on where your parents are. But I mean, you got to see the person. Right.
How about you're pregnant and you're telling your spouse? Can you tell them via text?
Only if you didn't go to the appointment together and they know you're going, and therefore it seems pretty cold.
Appointment?
Like, I mean,
what are
right.
you talking about? You think of test in your bathroom,
Raven. Yeah, but I thought you'd get a little confirmation, you know, before
no,
you...
No, Raven, you've with the test in the bathroom.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't manage these things. I don't have a uterus. Okay, yes, definitely in person.
Okay, how about you just got a new job? How do you tell... the world you got a new job.
I guess you would do like a social media post, right?
Would you?
And you probably want to wait until, you know, you're in there a little bit. And then you say, hey, I'm excited. This is my opportunity. This is what I'm in.
How about your friends and family? Can you just send them a text or do you have to social media?
You could text or you could call a regular phone call, not video required. Oh, you're calling. You're so excited. Your mom picks up in the bathroom. She's so, I'm glad you're gainfully employed again, but I'm going to wipe now.
Yep.
Right.
Car accident.
You should probably call right away. It's the most instant, and it tells you, like, there's an urgent matter. If one of my friends calls me instead of texting me, I pick it up immediately, assuming somebody's been injured.
What if it's just a fender bender? I'm like, you're fine.
Oh, well, then just a photo maybe and a text.
Right. Is there ever a good time to answer a FaceTime call on the toilet?
It wouldn't have been my first choice,
right.
No.
Yeah. There's 5 things you're supposed to be doing to get more sleep. And let's be honest, Raven, most of these you already know. But one I thought was really surprising.
Yeah, knowing the rules in and actually putting them into place in your life are two different things. I took a nap yesterday. I needed it. I haven't been sleeping well at all.
Right. And it's true. It's Anna and Raven. The National Sleep Foundation says that you're supposed to get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. We all hear that, right?
I mean, nobody gets that.
Right. 35% of adults get a lot less than that. Mm-hmm. So how do you fix it? Number one, we all know this. You're not supposed to be on social media before bed. They say 45 minutes before, you should be off social media completely. 45 minutes before you head to bed.
Yeah, I'm off social media, but I'm still reading the news. I'm still on my phone.
Not supposed to do that. Number two, avoid answering emails, because emails gets your brain working about work things.
Sure.
And you're not supposed to be doing that. A lot of times, right before bed, that's the last thing I do, because I go to bed thinking, okay, I finished everything. I'm ready to start the day the next day.
Right. And then when I look down and I see that number in red on the front of the iPhone, it just drives me insane.
Right.
I got to clear them at least, man. I got to mark them as red.
Well, that leads me to number three. Don't leave stressed thoughts in your head. How are you not supposed to do that? Like, you just, like, magically just, like, snap your fingers. All right, stress thoughts, get out of my head.
I mean, as far as this year goes, that would require a time machine, I'm thinking.
Number four, you're not supposed to just jump right into bed. You're supposed to stretch. You're supposed to lie on the floor. Maybe give yourself a massage. Do a little aromatherapy. They're saying that when you just get into bed right away, your brain doesn't know it's time to sleep. You're supposed to give yourself at least 10 minutes to start sequencing into sleep time. Do you do that?
You're asking me if I do yoga before I get into bed? That's a serious
stretch,
question for
self-massage.
Me.
Self-massage? You don't do your self-massage
if
before you get into bed?
If I was giving myself a self-massage, I think my wife would be pretty upset about it before I went to bed.
But the number one...
I need to sleep, hon.
Yeah. But the fifth thing that really surprised me to help yourself get a better night's sleep, now you set your alarm in the morning to wake up, you're supposed to set a bedtime alarm. So when that bedtime alarm goes off...
That's it. Stretching begins and it's time to get in there.
Yeah. And I definitely don't do that. And I think it's so much easier at night to start stretching it out. Like, all right, 10 more minutes. All right, let me watch one more episode of this on Netflix. All right, let me read one more chapter. Okay, let me just go on Twitter for 5 more minutes. And I think that if you set a bedtime alarm, it's a way to shut off your brain.
No, but we're like toddlers that way. We don't want to miss anything. Something exciting could happen.
Well, then we're never going to have a good night's sleep. What did you name that random item in your house? 1-800-330-9999. Tiana and Raven. My cousin, the other day, she called her vacuum cleaner Stephanie, and I thought like she was kidding at first, and then I was like, Stephanie, and she's like, yeah, you know, the vacuum, and she's like, you don't name your vacuum? I go, no.
Is it like a regular vacuum?
Yeah, it's like a regular vacuum.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, wait a minute, do you name inanimate objects in your house? And she's like, yeah, sometimes. I don't do that. Do you do that?
I do that with things that I rely on. So my lawnmower, I just changed the oil on Billy Bob the other day. I call my lawnmower Billy Bob because it's a riding lawnmower. It's bright red, and it reminds me of this country guy that I used to hang out with when I lived down south. He had a red Mustang and a red F-150, and his name was Billy Bob. One license plate read Billy Bob, and the other one read Bill Bobby.
Nice.
Swear to God, it's a real thing that happened. And whenever I look at that, I look at my riding pony, I say to myself, that's Billy Bob.
You know what? Science says that that's totally normal. Completely normal. It even has a name. It's called, and I'm going to mispronounce this, anthropomorphization.
I mean, you don't have a robot for that type of thing?
I do.
And I thought you would.
Here she is explaining what anthropomorphization means.
Anthropomorphism is the attribution of human traits, emotions, and intentions to non-human entities, and is considered to be an innate tendency of human psychology.
It's a real thing. So what it is...
You should name the robot as often as you go to her, to be honest.
Yeah, we should name her. Anyway, it's been around for over 1,000 years, and it started back in the day when they used to name ships and swords.
Okay.
And what it does is it gives, like, human emotions to these inanimate objects because we rely on them and we need them, like how you talk about Billy Bob.
You want to empower something to have it. So you say, when I go to you, I'm going to need you to perform. So you put that personal edge to it. It's like naming your car. You know, it's the same type of thing.
Well, the most common things that people name are plants, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, they have personalities. That's what they say. You're supposed to talk to your plants and play music for them, and some of them like different things than others. They have personalities, they say.
I'm not signing up
Listen,
for that.
Listen, I'm not one of those hippies. I'm just saying hippies say that, all
if
right? That's what they say.
Talking to a cactus in here, like I'm going to
Do we even have
wrong.
One? I don't even know if succulents apply.
All right.
I mean, they're kind of hard, and they don't need anybody.
Most common things that people name, plants, cars, boats, obviously boats. I have a name for my boat that I don't actually have yet.
Right. What's your name for your boat?
Off the Air. Isn't that good? I mean, I had an argument with my husband about this weekend. I told him when we get our boat. No, it's not.
And he doesn't care, right? I mean, that's got nothing to do with him.
Right. He's like, name the boat that we don't have and can't afford, whatever you want, Anna. All right. Guitars. People name guitars.
Okay. Yeah. Lucille, right? Yeah. I remember that B.B. King, right? Yep. Some of his famous ones.
People that name their laptops and their bikes. I definitely never have a name for my laptop, but I should call her Trusty.
I should just call her Restart Necessary because there's always some sort of reboot or something to be taken care of.
Wait 20 seconds. We asked on our Facebook page, you know, what are the inanimate objects that you named in your house? Mm-hmm. And I was shocked by how many people name their vacuum cleaners, just like my cousin. Caroline wrote her vacuum cleaner's name is R2-D2.
Yeah.
But sometimes they use the less formal just R2.
So is it an automatic? One, because if it's an automatic one, I feel like that thing is almost alive, right?
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
Well, Kelly wrote her Roomba's name is Doobie.
Right. See, so that makes total sense to me. Doobie, go to work.
Yep. And Diana calls her iRobot Roberta.
Yeah. My wife calls all our Alexa devices something, but I can't say it on the radio because she's constantly fighting with her.
Okay.
It's very strange.
1-800-330-9999. What is the item in your house that you've randomly given a name to? What did you name that random item in your house? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Science says it's actually completely normal and that people have been doing this for thousands of years from back when they used to name the ships in their swords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I rely on my lawnmower. That's why he's named Billy Bob. Mm-hmm. I talk to Billy Bob. When Billy Bob isn't running right, I tell Billy Bob, I need you. I need you this afternoon.
Most common things that people name, cars, plants, boats, guitars, laptops, bikes. Allie wrote on our Facebook page that she named her plants her twin cacti, Prue and Prick, and her succulent's name is Throckmorton Gilbert Herbert the First. That's a mouthful right there.
It's an exciting morning as you're watering them, putting them into position to get some sun. You get a little conversation, too.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was the name of that random item in your house?
It's a tennis racket.
And what do you? What did you call it?
Jack. Nobody plays tennis.
Nobody plays tennis in your house whatsoever. and Jack just sits there in the house.
Sadly.
Yes. Jack has a job.
What is it?
Jack has to whack the bat.
Wait a minute. So
wait a minute. What?
Wait a minute. What is Jack's job exactly?
To whack the bat.
You have a bat in your house also?
And you use your tennis.
It's an upstate house.
So you use the tennis racket.
Sometimes the bat won't get in.
Right. Okay. So you use the tennis racket to swat down the flying rodent.
And we call it Jack. Jack the murderer. Right. That's what it is.
Jack the Ripper.
Yep. That's what it is. You fly into this house.
It stuns them and you throw them outside.
Wow.
Oh, man. It stuns them.
Right.
Tell yourself whatever you want. A bat weighs about 4 ounces and has hollow bones. They're not stunned. Yeah. They're paralyzed. Yeah. But thank you for the call.
Jack is a murderer.
Right.
Anna and Raven, what's the object that you named in your house?
My family calls our couch Wanda. Like, you know, we're going to go sit on Wanda. Or, I spilled on Wanda.
Oh. I like that. Where did you get the name Wanda?
Where did Wanda come from?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I think my son named her, and it just stuck a couple years ago. So everyone calls the couch Wanda.
I do feel like Wanda's got a big lap and a wholesome bosom. A very hearty bosom, right? You just lean against it.
I love it.
Is Wanda purple or blue?
What color is Wanda?
Wanda is tan with, I guess, dark purple, bluish.
I didn't see that. Right.
You have
okay.
No idea.
Well, you know, I see the bluish. The bluish.
We're going to go sit on Wanda.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you're a stranger walking by, but like, let's go sit on Wanda.
Right. Everybody pick pile on Wanda.
Right.
Poor lady.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you name that random item in your house?
Yeah. So, when I was in Spain years ago, there was like this sculpture around the area of our hotel that was like half man or half horse or something. I did not think it was a very great statue, but my ex-husband was like so into it at the store that we ended up buying it. So it's hideous. It's horrifying.
Right.
But so my husband's gone now, but the Ricardo, the half man, half horse statue, is definitely still in my family room.
The Ricardo. You call him Ricardo?
Ricardo.
Wait, but hold on. You said your husband's gone. Like, you guys are divorced because you called him your ex-husband, or is he dead? Like,
No, we're divorced, and he just really loved the statue.
So you kept it. Let me get this straight. Let me get this straight. You kept the statue because he loved it so much.
Yeah, it was just my little
stab at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it was the only one. I'm sure it was the only stab at the end, too. The only spiteful situation from the divorce.
Ricardo keeps her company at night. I imagine Ricardo being very handsome as half man, half horse kind of thing.
Watch yourself. This is a family program.
Okay.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not pregnant.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the work day.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
Ever need life advice? You could always ask my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden. No actual qualifications to give advice, but let me tell you, as her mommy, I can tell you she's got a lot to say.
Yeah, there is no filter.
Hayden, today's email comes from Sandra, and she wrote, Hayden, my three girls are back to school, hybrid, but still some days in school. The problem is on the days that they have to go in person, they're not waking up. How do I get them back in the habit of waking up for school? That's a good question. I think a lot of parents have this. It's been 6 months of kind of rolling over and turning on your laptop. So what do you think?
Well, one thing you could do is if you have a puppy, you can take your dog and put the dog on top of your daughter's, because then the dog will start scramming everywhere and scratching your kids, and then they'll have to wake up because it's like, what's moving on me?
Right. So like that initial reaction of there's a live animal on my face and now it's clawing my eyeballs.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, you can walk into their room, blasting music on like a speaker, mm-hmm. and then get two frying pans and start smacking them together and sing, wake up, children.
Okay, frying pans. What would you do if I walked into your room with two frying pans and started smashing them together and saying, wake up, Hayden?
You wouldn't do that because you're never home when I wake up.
True that. Okay, and any other options?
I have one more. So wake them up and be like so surprised and be like, get up, we're going to Disney World or we're going on a vacation.
Like a surprise vacation? And then what?
Well, then when you're eating breakfast, tell them, surprise, you're going to school.
That would be disappointing.
But you got them out of bed.
That would be absolutely cruel.
Crushing.
Look at how sad you look from not being there whenever Hayden wakes up.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a mommy sadness. Like, sure. It's true. I don't get to be there in the morning when she wakes up for school.
But just think about all the frying pans that you're saving.
Right.
All right? Because, I mean, they put those coatings on them now. You slap a couple of those together, you're clearly through the clear coat at that point.
Don't worry.
Now you've scratched the metal on these pans.
Guess what's happening Saturday and Sunday morning? Mommy will be home on the weekends. Don't worry about that.
If you need advice, email me, Hayden at annaandraven.com. That's Hayden at annaandraven.com. See you next week. Bye.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Carl and Michelle. Michelle, let's start with you. What's going on?
You know, I'm getting married, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to get married this summer, but we rescheduled it for next summer.
Sure.
My fiance, Carl, his sister recently told us that she's been booked to speak at a conference that same weekend that we're supposed to get married, and it's in and her conference is in Chicago, and she just cannot miss it no matter what. And she's asking us if we would consider changing the weekend since this was a reschedule anyway. And I'm like, no. I mean, what kind of sister would even ask to do that? He doesn't even see it as a big deal. It's his sister, and it's like our wedding, and it's still a year away. It's very strange to me. And like Carl just tells me, well, you know, it's not like we've sent the invites out or anything.
Well, let's hear. Hold on. Carl, I mean, do you have a really good relationship with your sister? Or do you think this is out
of... Yeah, you know, my sister and I are really close. She's been working, you know, she's a physician and she's been working on this research for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And this is the sort of time where she finally gets to present this thing that's been consuming her life. And I just want to be there to support her. And, you know, we've already rescheduled the wedding once. I don't see what the big deal is.
Well,
you know, we could just change the weekend. We could just push it a week. What's the difference?
Well,
it's so far away.
Hold on. Let's pause there for a minute. So, I mean, this new date that you chose, is it something that is of significance? Because, I mean, if it's a year away, you haven't done invitations or anything yet at this point. So the investment is rather low. Is it something that it's a significant date to you, Michelle, or is it just, you know, this is the weekend that you chose that worked?
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a significant weekend in terms of the date, but like I've already reached out to vendors and like, you know, all the vendors that we had originally booked said that they were available for this day, you know, and we're also competing with all these other people that had to reschedule their weddings. Yeah.
That's
well,
the thing, right? So. The building is going to be the big deal is that if the, you don't even know if the venue would be even open another weekend and you will be fighting against more couples than you've seen in a long time. That's a challenge.
Exactly.
It's not as easy as just going, oh, well, we already did it once. We can pick the next one. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's tough. What we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Michelle. You already did all this. You checked the venues. You don't even know if you're going to be able to change it or if you have to change it or when it would be. So leave it as it is. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. But they may see Carl's side, too, that it's his sister, and this is a big deal for her, too. And I'm sure she wants to be there on your wedding day as Carl wants her there on your wedding day. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Like a lot of brides and grooms, Carl and Michelle had to change their wedding date. They are now getting married July 17th of next year. Now, here's the thing. They've already said it. They figured out the venue, all the stuff. And Carl's sister says, wait a minute. I have a major presentation conference that same day in Chicago. And can you change it? Carl says, you know, we should at least try. It's my sister. I love her. This is a big deal for her, this conference. Michelle, right. Not so much.
Well, Carl's sister's been doing this, working on this project for something like 8 years, yeah. Right? As a medical professional, it's something that she's obviously dedicated a good portion of her life to. So it is a big deal. On the other hand, planning a wedding is a stressful event already at the time. And if you've ever planned a wedding before, you know that it's very, very difficult to please everybody. The question is, can they change it to please this one person?
And the one thing we know for sure is that it's hard when you're rebooking for next year because
absolutely.
There's a lot of brides and grooms that are trying to do the same thing.
Going
to
get worse day by day.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Oh, definitely, Carl. If you do it the way Michelle wants, you know, it's like her argument is she's going to be inconvenienced. But if Carl's sister doesn't come, he's going to be hurt. And you don't want the person, if she loves him, this would be a good time to show it.
Yeah, you make up a good point. Thank you so much for the call. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Carl and Michelle had to reschedule their wedding from this summer to next summer, like a lot of brides and grooms. July 17th. Now, here's the problem. When they told Carl's sister, she says, wait a minute. I have to be in Chicago that weekend. I have a really important medical conference.
She's been working on a research project for something like 7 to 8 years. Dedicated a good portion of her life to this, obviously. And that's the day that she's supposed to present it to her colleagues. Still, though, is that enough for them to change their wedding? And should she ask and should they do it?
Michelle says, no, we already picked this date. We went through the venue. Carl says...
The vendors are available, right?
Yeah. Carl says, it's my sister. We have to. 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi. Yeah, I'm on the husband's side. I'm a person that believes in family. I understand the wife's part as well. However, I mean, if you're not going to do it for your family, who else will? He wants her to be at the wedding. And she wants to be there as well. So I would like my wife to support me and supporting my sister. And then us as a unit will find a way to get our marriage and our wedding together and make it happen.
I think there's a lot to be said, obviously, about looking out for family and especially with new family. And obviously, this is something that's got a lot of time invested. 8 years of her life, the sister's life has gone into it. On the other hand, doing for family, does it always have to be them before you? When it's supposed to be your big day. I mean, isn't that one day that it can be about you?
I wouldn't want my big day without my sister by my side. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on both. I get what she's saying. I get that the venues are, you got to check. But I think she needs to just try and see if these venues are available for another weekend. Attempt to do it. My sister did the same thing. She went to the Caesars. She had to present. It's a big deal. If you're marrying into this family and you're going to see the sister all the time for years to come, make the attempt.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I feel that she's not realizing how close her brother
and his sister are, it's just going to cause friction for the rest of their lives if she doesn't do it.
They have the option to change the wedding venue. They can try. She can't change a conference where she's giving a medical speech. Like, to, you know, and from like a working point of view, I can understand that.
What happens if the conference changes next year because there's still something going on?
Or because of
some rescheduling then? I mean, yeah. And you're saying she can, but you don't know. I mean, if you've chosen the venue, I mean, you have to look at the options. Then you'll know.
You got to at least try.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Carl, our audience agreed with you. Michelle, it's a pain in the butt. Like, no one's arguing that it isn't, especially because there's going to be all these kind of challenges having to deal with other couples that are trying to reschedule their weddings and the venues, and you've already done it. But it means a lot to your fiance for his sister to be there. And it's not like this is something whimsical that there's a reason why, you know, she can't make it and wants you to change. It's a big deal. And you know what? If you're going to be part of this new family, it might be a good idea to be part of the family and help her out and change a date.
I mean, I totally hear it. And like, I appreciate everyone's feedback and I'll definitely think hard on it. You know, it's upsetting to me. Like, I just think I don't think I would ever do that as a sister, like asking, you know, my brother to change his wedding. But, you know, I want her there as well. And she is my future sister-in-law. So definitely give it some thought.
Carl, you got to feel a little bit better like this. At least people are hearing what you're saying.
I do. You know, I mean, the least we can do is just look and see. Like, if it becomes a whole thing and it's impossible, then, you know, maybe we can't do it. But at least we can at least entertain the idea and maybe just actually have it be the wedding that everybody gets to be at, you know?
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@AnnaAndRaven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Josh.
Josh, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Josh.
All right, Josh. Here's how it works. Raven's walking out of here. When that studio door closes, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I give you 3 seconds. I bring them back in and I ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Remember, you got to beat them, though. A tie goes to Raven. And if you could do it, today's jackpot's $200. Ready to play?
Yep.
Number one, Beyonce and Jay-Z rented a $2 million a week super yacht off the coast of Croatia. They're currently on it right now. How many children do they have?
3.
Number 2, Andrew Lloyd Webber has urged British lawmakers to set a reopening date for theaters because many shows won't be able to survive this extensive shutdown. Andrew Lloyd Webber is known for creating the most financially successful and longest running show on Broadway. What is it?
Cats.
Number 3, The Walking Dead is coming to an end in 2022, but the spin-offs of the show will continue. What network produces The Walking Dead?
AMC.
Number 4, Justin Timberlake wants to bring Major League Baseball team to Tennessee in 2024. He even named the team the Nashville Stars. JT is also a minority owner of a Tennessee NBA team. What team is that? Time's up, Josh. Number 5, this week is the most popular week of the year for birthdays. Today's celebrity birthday includes the star of Cruel Intentions. He was also married to Reese Witherspoon for over a decade. Who is it?
Oh, what's it? Ryan Felipe.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo.
Okay.
What's going on?
Josh got 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5 is not bad. Let's see how I do.
Okay. Number 1, Beyonce and Jay-Z rented a $2 million a week super yacht off the coast of Croatia, and they're currently on it.
I mean, who isn't hanging out off Croatia?
How many children do they have?
They got 3, right? Blue Ivy and the twins.
Yep. Number 2, Andrew Lloyd Webber has urged British lawmakers to set a reopening date for theaters because many shows won't be able to survive this extensive shutdown. Andrew Lloyd Webber is known for creating the most financially successful and longest-running show on Broadway. What is it?
Webber is Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Walking Dead is coming to an end in 2022.
I mean, it's so overdue.
Yeah, I mean, who still watches that?
And 2 spinoffs is terrible. What a terrible idea.
All right, what network produces The Walking Dead?
AMC, just let it die already.
Number 4, that is correct. Justin Timberlake wants to bring Major League Baseball team to Tennessee in 2024 and has even named the team the Nashville Stars.
Right.
JT is also a minority owner of a Tennessee NBA team. What team is that?
Tennessee is the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's correct.
Woo! Yeah! Look at me.
Also, FYI, before I researched that, I had never heard of the Memphis Grizzlies in my life.
Oh, they're good, man. They play hard.
Okay. And number five, this week is actually the most popular week of the entire year for birthdays.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthday includes the star of Cruel Intentions. He was also married to Reese Witherspoon for over a decade.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
No, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I jumped too quick.
And you did.
I jumped too quick. I saw Sarah Michelle Gellar, and then I just saw him standing there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my mistake.
Yeah. Although, when I think of Ryan Phillippe, I do think of Freddie Prinze Jr.
I think of the two of them squabbling, even in a neighborhood now, fighting over their same girl or their lawn or, you know, the things that adults fight over now.
It's like, toilet paper. Because they're 90s heartthrobs.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Josh. Raven beat you 4-3 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Josh, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Josh. Hold on.
Better luck next time. $300 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's another $100 in the jackpot. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'm going to give you the first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.